Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to PAECT Radio with your hosts
Dominic Silvici
and Rochelle Pope. Hello and welcome to PAECT Radio with your hosts
Dominic Silvici
and Rochelle Pope.
We seem to be having technical difficulties. Along with co-host Rochelle Poth. For some reason, we're stuck in a timeless loop. I think it's over now.
Apologize for that.
Was a special guest host, Ms. Ariana Salvucci, my daughter. She's guest hosting tonight. She's going to be our student panelist. It's our back-to-school show. We're hoping to get back into a regular groove here on PAECT Radio. And tonight's back-to-school show, we're going to discuss some things we do, back-to-school rituals, just how we get back into the groove after coming off summer break. Rochelle, anything you'd like to add to the conversation to start off?
Yeah, I just started back on Monday officially with the students, and I was excited to go back this year. I'm excited to go back every year, but this year was a little bit different after having the experience of being at ISTE this summer and at the Ellis School for the Learning Summit and participating in some other things and reading some great books and new ideas. I was excited to get back into my classroom and get started with the students on some new projects and things that I learned this summer. Plus, my school underwent a tremendous amount of renovation over the summer, and we're building like a library, a STEAM center, and it just took on a whole new look. So it was pretty exciting to come back and looking forward to trying some things with my students and hearing about, you know, what Ariana has done in her classroom so far, and things, you know, share some ideas, and hopefully we get some people to call in and share their ideas or some students as well to say what they like and look forward to when they return back to school.
Okay, and speaking of Ariana, we're going to have her introduce herself. And Ariana, would you like to say hi to everybody?
Hello.
Excuse me. So you just started school when?
I actually just started yesterday.
Okay, and you moved up to a new building, didn't you?
Yes.
Which school district do you go to?
I go to Elwood City, PA.
Elwood City School District. Good school district. I know a lot of the teachers there. We have some PAECT members within the district. It's actually on the edge of Southwest Region, so it's in the Northwest Region. I live in one region, teaching in the other. What are some new things going on for you in school this year, since you're moving up to a new building in third grade?
There's this new special called the Wolverine Workshop. And there we get to work with a Spiro. It's a robot that looks like a little ball that can light up, move, do tricks.
So how many Wolverine workshops have you attended so far?
Actually, none.
Today was your first day. You just got to meet the teacher?
I got to meet the teacher yesterday, but today he showed us the Spiro. And on Wednesdays, I will get to actually go and see what it's like.
Well, that'll be neat. What are some of the things he talked about? Did he say what you might be doing in that class?
He did say that we will not be using power tools, but we will be using like drills, stuff like that, and we will be giving each other ideas so we can try and build things.
You won't be using power tools, or will be using power tools?
He said we're not, but he said we're going to use a drill.
Oh, maybe like hand tools. Rochelle, do you have any questions for Ariana?
What was everybody in your class? What did you think when you found out what you were going to be doing? Were you excited? Were you nervous?
I was actually excited because I did not know about the Wolverine Workshop. And I love building whenever I get the chance. And I'm because I don't really get the chance. And actually yesterday whenever I heard about the Wolverine Workshop, I actually went downstairs with my family and started building a whole city of Legos.
Oh, did you really? So what did you build? Big city? Was that fun?
Yeah, we're not building a big city because I don't have that many Legos.
We use what, Lincoln Logs and Legos, combination plastic and wood toys.
Oh, I love those Lincoln Logs. That takes me back many years of being a child, and that's what I always loved to build with. Never had Legos, but always had the Lincoln Logs.
Yeah, classic set. It's back from my childhood, so it's antiques, what's left of them. You can read more about the Wolverine Workshop on elwoodcity.org if you go to that website. And it's about halfway down the page. You go to news.elwoodcity.org and meet the Wolverine Workshop facilitator. I believe the gentleman's name is Mr. Scott Setzenfand. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. I've never met him.
You actually are.
Oh, cool. And they have a good article about him and what they're going to be doing. And just some general overview of things with the class. It's going to be interesting. And hopefully, we can get some of the teachers that are in PAECT from Elwood on the radio show sometime and maybe get him to talk about what he does in that Wolverine Workshop. And then we have other teachers throughout PAECT that do similar maker spaces. It'd be nice to have them on.
Do you have? And we are going to introduce a game that you can actually play with programming.
Oh, what's that?
It's called Minecraft.
Oh, I love Minecraft. I learned a lot about that. I'd never seen it. And then this summer for ISTE, I had to judge some competition entries for students in fifth grade, I think, and sixth grade. And it was amazing. And so are you excited to do the Minecraft?
Yeah, I have it on my Xbox and my iPad.
Wow. Boy, you're getting all kind of cool technology skills.
Yeah, you can use Minecraft for school. You can use it just for fun, and it's really good for programming.
Yeah, I'm not very good with Minecraft, but there's a lot of educational uses for it. In fact, that's going to be, jumping ahead here, that's going to be a segment of TRETSI this year. They're going to have some people discussing Minecraft. So it'll be interesting. And we're going to go from the student section because along with some of the rituals that we discuss, one of my daughter's rituals is going to bed earlier than she normally does in the summertime. So she's going to have to get ready and head back here fairly soon. So I want to jump over to you, Rochelle. Since you just started with kids on Monday, you're actually ahead of me. We started Tuesday with kids. I went in a couple in-service days to get my room set up. I took my special guest helper Ariana and with me help me get things set up and what are some of the things you helped me with my room real quick, kiddo, and I'll send you off to bed.
I gave the upgrades to all the iPads. I tested the smart board and I sharpened most of the pencils.
Yes. Old school and new school technology. Night, kiddo. I'm going to let you get ready for bed. And she just finished up her homework and jumped on the radio with us, and I'm going to defer back to you. I apologize for cutting in your show. First show back, I'm going to go.
Thank you. Have a good day at school tomorrow.
Rochelle said have a good day at school tomorrow. She took her headphones off. She couldn't hear you.
Yes, I thought that might be the case. She's already well on her way. I was excited to go back. We had 4 days last week, three of which were professional development days and some really good programs then. And then Friday was the day to get into the classroom. And it was kind of rough at first to get back there and see all the unpacking I had to do and set things up. But I created some new interesting learning spaces and put up some new things in the room to make it more engaging, although my room is pretty engaging as it is now, all the way it's set up with the decorations. Being a Spanish teacher, you can kind of have a lot of fun with that, but and then spent some time thinking about, what I wanted to do on the first day, and for me, you know, when you talk about rituals, one of the first things I really like to do is just find out about the students, you know, what was their summer like, just keep building those relationships. For me, I have the students year after year, and it's nice to see them and the growth in them and how they've progressed throughout the summer. But then I get to see some new students and I can learn about them, you know, from surveys or just conversations. And that's one of the important rituals for me, is to build those relationships from the beginning and have some fun with them. You know, there's plenty of time the rest of the year for work, but that's usually what I do the first day. And then I get started on all of the technology tools and different, you know, standard procedures and things for my classroom probably on day two. But it's still pretty informal, at least for me, during the first week, kind of ease into it. Get to know the kids, let them know what they're going to expect, you know, this upcoming year. How about you?
Very similar. This year, we have a new principal, Mr. Ryan Yates, in our building. So there are a lot of changes across the board. And my first new principal in the high school since I've been teaching there way back in 1996. So it was a big change. We ran a schedule, had a delay, so we had half-hour classes, two-hour delay schedule where the kids came in, kind of went over the rule book in homeroom. We had grade-level meetings with the kids, and then kids went through their an abbreviated schedule the rest of the day. So I introduced myself. I knew most of my students, but there are some grades, a couple classes where I didn't know too many of the kids, and my freshman class, they're new to our building, went over some of the expectations, talked about, I have a class set of iPads. They stay in the room, so kids can't take them with them, but they're allowed to use them. And it's my computer platform. And kind of gave an overview of what the class was going to be. Then day two, had the kids log in, make sure everyone could get into Edmodo. Had them write a little, just what their expectations were and what they thought they were going to learn in each class this year. And then from there, getting the kids signed in Edmodo and everything organized took most of the period. So today I rolled out a survey to most of my classes, and it just, you know, do they have internet? Do they have access to smartphones? Do they go to the library? Why did they take the class they're taking? So in some cases, the kids have to take my social studies class because that's the grade they're going in. But with my honors classes and my seniors, they have a little more choice, just to get an idea and get some feedback from them. Ask them about how they study, how they like to learn. Do they like to read? Do they like people to just, you know, give them notes? Just to get some feedback so I get a better feel for, you know, who the students are and how they like to learn. So I try and incorporate study skills and things like that into the lessons. It's nice not having a state test because I can adjust my pace and I can introduce some things and work on some outside skills along with the social studies content. Because I am certified as a reading specialist and I have a minor in ed psych and did a lot with study skills back in college and continue to do that as a professional to work with the kids on things such as note-taking, how to study, things of that nature. So working on writing and, you know, forming arguments and stuff. So it works out well. It gives me these first couple of days, get an idea of the kids, talk with them, walk around the room, and just get a feel for what's going on and kind of get them in tune with the class also.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing you brought up about doing a survey. I do that as well at the beginning of the year to find out, like you said, you know, what kind of technology do the students have access to, you know, and I'm surprised at some of them. There are some that don't really have access to anything other than, you know, maybe a flip phone or just one computer in the house and you know, it stays there. And then there's some students that have a variety of devices. Because in our district, you know, you can bring in your own, or we have a program that you can also have one through the school, and they work that out, you know, all the details. But I'd like to find out, you know, what their interests are, how they like to learn, just like you said. And it's probably the only survey that I do all year that's actually on a piece of paper, because at the beginning of the year, the new students I get, at least in the lower level, have not had the chance to set up any of the accounts that we use, and I also use Edmodo. And this year, at the end of the school year, we do a bump up day. So the students run through their schedule for the following year. So I did have them sign up over the summer. But of course, you know, schedules change and you get new students and not everybody was in. So I'm still in the process of having some students join the group and get used to Edmodo and NIU Selly. So those are some of my rituals, you know, making sure the students are connected and they know how to operate Edmodo, which I think is great because it's user-friendly and you can find things pretty easily. And actually, today I spent a portion of class going through and showing them what all the icons meant and, you know, how to send me a message. And I'm sure that you probably do the same thing.
Yes, in fact, I actually used the Edmodo quiz feature as the survey. I typed that up. I explained to the students that, you know, there are no wrong answers. Even though it's a quiz, it's going to say there's a question wrong, but it's because I have to pick a right answer. I give them some yes or no or multiple choice questions. There's no wrong answer. But I do hold them accountable for, I ask maybe four or five questions that they have to give me. It's more than multiple choice. They have to give me a statement and explain some details. And if they kind of fluff that off, I'll take points off the quiz. But if they explain, you know, and I ask them to be honest, some of the kids said, well, what if I'm taking this because this is the only class that will fit in my schedule? I'm like, that's fine. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It's good for me to know that you're not taking this class, like my psychology, principles, democracy, economics, sociology class. You're not taking it because you're interested in these topics. It's just the only class that fits. Where I have some kids that take it just because they want to learn about psychology.
Right.
So I get to gauge as to what their interest is and things like that. So I go over that with them. And we work within Edmodo. Like their class expectation was, you know, turning in. I wrote it up as an assignment, and they submitted it through Edmodo. I'm just replying into the box. And the reason why I do that is I can go through and I can comment on their posts. And it takes a little bit of time. It's rather labor intensive the first couple of days of school, reading through all these posts, and I try to comment and personalize each response to the kids to show, you know, yeah, I'm making you do things on day one and day two of class, but I'm also going to read them, and I'm trying to listen or read what you're saying, and, you know, it's not just busy work to kill half hour, 40 minutes of class the first couple of days of school.
Right.
So I do like that ability that I can give direct feedback, and it's individualized, so you know, it's directly to the student, and I can even on the quiz/survey in Edmodo, I can comment question by question specifically. So it's a nice tool to use for things like that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really liked about it is, you know, that you can create those quizzes and use them, you know, whether it's a survey or a quiz. Students can do it in class. You can grade them. They can get that feedback, you know, instantly if it's self-grading, or you can put those comments and they can always go back to it. And I think, you know, that's really important that they can have that because you know how many times on paper you give the feedback and once the grade is seen or, you know, some of the markings, they kind of, you know, the papers can get lost, but where it's stored in their own Edmodo account, it's really good for their reflection to go back and look and see, you know, what did they do that maybe was not the right thing or what was an answer that they could have improved on or, you know, depending on the level or the course you're teaching, there's so many options available through it. But it is time consuming. I know putting that in comment.
My phone was blowing. You talked about Selly. I had my kids sign up for Selly. The first couple days of school, my phone was constantly blowing up. And then I have the notifications set for Edmodo to send me a text. Actually, I turned that off, but I have the email, so my phone just kept pinging from emails constantly as kids were signing up, and then kids were turning in assignments and doing this and doing that. My phone just kept beeping all day. It was almost to the point where I was going to mute it because it was a constant noise from notifications with everything that was going on in my classroom.
Yeah, that's mine actually tonight has been blowing up a little bit, Selly at least, because of some questions for the homework assignment, which I posted on Edmodo, but it's okay because I'd rather them ask the questions and, you know, I can get right back to them than not doing the homework or, you know, being unsure and then coming in unprepared the next day, which is why I started seeking some of these tools, you know, in the beginning a couple of years ago anyway. And I stuck with Selly just because it's the first I used. And there's a lot of other options out there. You know, some people use Remind, Class Messenger, Blooms is another one. I think Simply Circle. There's so many. It depends on, you know, your age level, how often you want to use it, if you want parents involved. But it's another great way to keep in connection with the students and have them, you know, have the connection with you to ask questions or whatever they need. Although if it comes in the middle of the night, they might have to wait for the answer, which often happens too. But, you know, at least the connection is possible.
Yeah, I give my kids a cutoff. So if you get a message to me before, it's usually between 9 and 9:30, I can get back to you. If it's after that time, you're on your own till probably 4:35 in the morning. I'll respond because school time, I tend to shut down early. With the tools you use, I know you're big into using technology. We talk all the time about different tools. Do you have a mainstay, a set of tools you stick with and use year to year? I know you're constantly looking through and reevaluating tools. But what are your mainstays that have been around for a while?
Well, Edmodo, Selly, Quizlet, BlendSpace, Kahoot I've been using for about the last year and a half. That's a very popular one. Trying to think what else on a regular basis. For projects, I tend to use, you know, students, they can choose whatever they want. But some of the most popular ones are Paltoon, GoAnimate. Haiku Deck is another favorite because it's so easy to use, and a lot of students that kind of shy away from technology at first and just want to have the comfort of something like PowerPoint tend to like that better. What else? Pick-the-Chart, Canvas more, but you know, the top five I would say every year that are the must are probably Edmodo, Quizlet, like I said, Kahoot, and BlendSpace for sure. But the last year I started having my students blog, and I use KidBlog for that, which is another, I mean, it's time-consuming to read their comments, especially in Spanish, and look for the grammar, but it's a really great way for them to learn to write and to practice without any fear of making mistakes or, you know, having their grade reflect how they wrote, because it's just supposed to be for open expression and on any topic that they want some of the time. So I try and encourage them just to write, not look up words, you know, do their best. But it does take time to give that feedback, but it's worthwhile. How about you? What do you use every year? I know you use Edmodo.
I use Edmodo. I use Selly. Online flashcards, it's the same with language. You know, they have to know the vocabulary. Social studies, there's just words they have to know to understand what's going on. I use StudyStack. I've used it for so long. But I also supply Google Sheets for the kids. I have a Google Doc that I have kids that still, even though I supply the online flashcards to them, they like to go and write their own definitions out, which is fine with me. So I share a Google Doc, but I also share a Google Sheet because I have kids that use Quizlet, Study Blue, and other website or other online flashcards. So with that Google Sheet, they can just upload the CSV file and create their own set with the correct definitions. Because in the past, what I found was, you know, a lot of kids would just cheese through vocabulary and get themselves in a hole before they even got to the test by not doing the vocabulary or writing down the wrong words and studying the wrong words instead of making corrections. So I supply that with them. I've been using the Verso app since Tretzi of last year. So it's not one quite a full school year for me, but I like using that for online discussion boards. You get feedback. The kids can reply. I can see who does that, who replies, who doesn't. EduCannon, I'm using again this year. It's a nice way to embed questions and comments into videos. And EdPuzzle's new. It's something new I'm trying out this year. And I'm taking the BlendSpace idea you've been using for student projects. You can post all student projects in one spot, especially when it's time for them to present, so they don't have to try and log into different spaces and find different logins. Another thing I'm doing again this year, my kids, we have a Google Apps for Education school. So it's again this year with my honest freshman, having them create
they will go all the way on the site so they can
embed their anchor,
link to their Instagram,
blog,
and any
project
post.
Any project
post
online,
they link to their digital portfolio.
I seem to be getting some feedback on my computer. I apologize for the quality. I don't know what's going on tonight. Could just be a bad connection here at my house or power cords by the computer. Sometimes when I have it plugged in, I get some feedback. But that's pretty much it. Again, with, like I said, the blend space, I'm going to fiddle around with with Ed Puzzle, which is kind of like Educannon. And I did come across it's a colleague of mine, Mr. Joe Tabe, timeline.nightlab.com. You could turn a Google Sheet. It's a web space. It's a free tool. Turn a Google Sheet. They give you sample templates. You can make your own. Turns a Google Sheet into an online timeline. We used a couple other tools last year with mixed results. And this looks like it's going to be easier to use for the kids. And it also cuts down on them being able to just cut and paste items from the internet into a website and kind of plagiarize / cut corners on the assignments. So
right.
It's a new tool, but we're going to give it a shot and see how it works.
Yeah, I really like Edpuzzle that you mentioned. And another one I wanted to try to use is Kaizena, which you can put links, you can record lessons, and you can enroll classes. I sat down with one of the designers at ISTE, and he showed me some hints and some things that you can do with it. So that was pretty cool. You mentioned Timeline. There were two that I came across, and the one was called Dippity, and the other one was, I think, Tiki Talky, and they were both really neat for laying things out. And the one actually gave you an option if you wanted to do a two-dimensional or three-dimensional, and a lot of the background changes and things. It's pretty cool. So if students have to do timelines, you know, the one that you had mentioned, those two are pretty cool. But I like the idea, you know, if you're a Google Classroom or you're used to using Google tools, having that timeline, that Nightlab one that you mentioned, will be a great idea just to kind of keep everything all Google for sure. BlendSpace,
I've used
Dippity
before. Oh, go ahead.
No.
I liked it. But we had connectivity issues last year in my room. And because of the nature of the tool, kids were using the iPads. And with the connectivity being up and down, kids were losing work. And it wasn't saving as easily because we were using the iPads. It worked okay on the iPads. I think if we would have had a more stable internet connection, it would have worked a bit better. So I'm going to try something else because with the Google Sheets, if we lose connectivity, at least it kicks back into a local mode and we don't lose what's on the iPad, where with Dippity, we were, since it was out on the website, you were kind of getting, kids were losing work and it was getting a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. I had some students lose some work this week. One of their assignments was to take some vocab or some verbs and create games for us to use for review this week in Kahoot or using online Quiz Creator, which is also a pretty cool one that I started using last year as well. And some of the students had problems with it saving or, you know, whatever technology issues arose, and I felt pretty bad, but I said, well, it's good practice because then you can type it all in again and make sure that you had everything correct. But technology, sometimes we have to do battle with, and, you know, it's not perfect. It's always changing, and you always have to kind of problem solve, so it happens.
Yeah, that's the one thing I stress day one, and I'll stress it a few more times throughout the year when things crash. I've gotten used to, and like I said, it goes back to not having a state assessment that's due at the end of the year.
Right.
And I've been doing this with technology for a long time, that when things break, which eventually they don't work right, I don't worry too much. I'm like, okay, I have a fallback plan. Let's do this instead in class today, or we'll try something different because, you know, the internet, we have a bad connection, or a website that we were supposed to use isn't working, or something got blocked through the school filter, or the iPads are having issues. And it's to the point now where the kids seem to get more upset. And I tell them, don't worry about it. If it's something that is a big issue, that, you know, it's a school issue or it's a website issue, we'll adjust. It's different if you come in and your kids use Evernote and for some reason our internet connection's down, the kids can't get into their Evernote notebooks. They can't sync them to the internet. I'll make adjustments. On the flip side, if you're, you know, you leave your notebook in your locker, you're out of luck. And you know, that's not fair. I'm like, well, certain issues can't be controlled. You can control whether you bring your notebook to class or not. I can't control if a website goes down or internet connection goes down. So there's big issues and then there's, you know, the local issues. If it's a local issue, you know, you forget your pencil, you don't have your notebook, you forgot your homework at home, I can't help you. But if, you know, it's a big issue that's beyond our control, we'll adjust. Right. And throughout the year, they need to be reminded about that because they tend to get upset. Like, you know, this isn't working. Like, relax, we'll figure it out. And I turn them loose on the problems because oftentimes they're better at finding out what's wrong than, you know, especially if it's something new. Some of the old things, the standards that go wrong with the school network, I know what's going on. But if it's something new, I'll let them problem solve it, and they get enrichment points for making a tutorial, solving the problem, or you know, even writing down kids that don't like making audio or video files. They'll write up directions for me, and they'll get enrichment points and you know, collaborate with others and kind of mentor them to get them through the process. So it's a learning curve. And it lets the kids collaborate, and it's something they're going to be doing in the real world outside of schools, having to collaborate and problem solve. So I think it's a good thing they learn how to do that.
Oh, yeah, because there's not always going to be somebody there that's going to be able to give you the answer. You might be the person that has to find the answer, and so you have to prepare for that. And, you know, I do get, with Sally and Edmodo both, I do get a ton of questions about things, and, you know, I'll try and point them in the right direction, but you know, I know that I've certainly had a lot of my own struggles in some of the courses I've taken in the master's program at Duquesne, and in technology has really given me some trouble. But, you know, part of the learning process is, you know, taking it apart, looking at it, ruling out the obvious things like, yes, it's plugged in or yes, it's turned on, and then trying to find the answer and exhausting all possibilities first, you know, on your own. And then if you can't, then of course, you know, seek some help. But you know, you have to drive your own learning and seek answers out on your own, because like you said, you might be the one that's the only one at some point in the future, and then you're stuck because nobody's going to give you that answer. You're going to have to come up with it. And that's what I try and tell my students as well. You know, make sure that you do your own work, make your own decisions, because that's what the real world is like, and that's what you'll have to do in the future.
That is a lesson they have to learn, and they're pretty good about it. Once, you know, they get past that initial, you know, because they're so used to when things don't go well, they have that panic, automatic panic button that goes off. Once they go through that once or twice, they seem to kind of go with the flow and adjust a little easier, I guess. They don't get as uptight over things. But that seems to be I'm teaching a new class this year. We rolled civics, because American history keeps getting longer. We rolled civics into the context of history, and we broke our American history class into two segments. So I'm working with those kids, and I'm using a lot of the same tools, but it's more the civics and government in context of history. So working with my honors ninth graders, it's a bigger class. My numbers are up. So as you said, how you like to make your room set up to be welcoming and such, I have the same design I have last year, but I have three or four more desks in play as opposed to just being around the edge in case they're needed. So my room is kind of hard to manage. So as much as I like to walk around and try and interact with the kids, it's a little harder to do this year because my class sizes are up. But that's something that's going to be a work in progress throughout the year. But the nice thing is, even if I can't walk around and talk to the kids one-to-one, except through Edmodo, through Verso, and some of the other tools that are out there, even if I can't sit and talk with a student at his or her desk, I can comment one-to-one on what they're submitting through the different tools. EduBlog's the same way, even though it's a public discourse they post. And then I make my comments public, but, you know, and I have my kids whenever they post and respond to each other. Verso's private. EduBlog's is public. One of the things with, you know, civics and social studies teaching good citizenship, you don't always have to agree, but you have to be appropriate and you have to be respectful. And to get that dialogue going, where students, and sometimes I make them find somebody whose opinion they disagree with and comment respectfully on it, just to learn how to do that. Because when you look online, you hear about the cyberbullying, Facebook issues, even like if you read the papers, a lot of the online papers and articles, the comment section underneath gets rather hostile. And learn how to do it appropriately. You can't just call people names or call someone's idea stupid or an inappropriate name and be done with it. And that's something they have to learn. And I use these tools for that purpose, model appropriate behavior and go from there. So it's nice having the technology to be able to communicate one-to-one with the kids and have them interact with each other, even if they can't physically be in the same room or they're on opposite ends of the room in the same period. They can interact and have this dialogue, even though we're kind of cramped with space right now.
Right.
I don't have too much more to go with, and it is a school night. I don't know if you have any more to add or how much more you have to add to the conversation. What I would like to do, probably in a month or so, revisit it and see, and hopefully have some more people chime in and see, you know, how their year's going, kind of do these update shows throughout the year as to, hey, here's things I'm doing, here's some new things I tried, here's some old things I'm trying, here's how I've improved, here's how I haven't. And when you try new things at some point throughout the year, you usually have at least one major, if not epic, fail. And, you know, how do you go about overcoming it? I'd like to do a show like that, I'd say a month or two into the school year, revisit some of these things that we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, I'm interested to see in my school with those renovations. It's not quite finished yet, but we have a new program with the 7th and 8th graders. They're doing a 9-week rotation, and it's STEAM, and there's 4 themes. I have the part with culture. There's technology, engineering, and video. And so they'll rotate through, you know, each 9 weeks and focus on an area. In mine, they'll be learning French, Spanish culture, but then I'll be teaching them how to build a hummingbird robot based out of CMU. And I had some training and met with Dr. Tim Lowers at ISTE. So my students are building a robot in some form. So we'll see how that goes. We have the hummingbird kits and they'll have an opportunity to work on that. So I'm excited to see, you know, their reaction to each of those stations. One is going to create iMovies. The other one is Makey, and I can't recall the fourth, but it'll be interesting for the students to have that experience, you know, really working with some of those things, like especially coding, because I'll be teaching them some coding and using Scratch. So it'll be a learning process for everybody, including myself. So I'm looking forward to how that goes.
That'll be neat. I've got to talk last year at Tretzi. Dr. Lowers was in the same area as the PAECT booth, and it was great. We got to interview him and talk to him, and was checking out the hummingbird robots he had a bunch there, and it was just a really neat experience. So that would have been great being able to hang out with him at ISTE.
Yeah, he had part at the Mega Share on Saturday afternoon, and then he was also, you know, in the expo hall, throughout the rest of the conference. So it was pretty cool to watch some of the different robots. And then I just now, you know, seeing some videos I've seen online of what the students have created at such a young age, it's pretty cool.
That would be neat. We definitely have to revisit this topic later. Anything else for tonight's show besides that? Outside of our upcoming events and some things going on.
No, I think that was it. I'll let you handle those.
Okay. Upcoming events, This weekend, we have two coffee meetups. You're going to meet some PACT members at the Panera in Murraysville, 9 to 10:30 a.m. I'll be at the Cranberry Barnes and Noble in the coffee shop from 10 to 11:30. If you're in the area, stop by. Technically, the Cranberry Barnes and Noble is in the Northwest region, but that's okay. It's close to my house. And we have a lot of Southwest regional members living in that area, although we work closer to the Southwest region. So hopefully we'll have some people stopping out to see us. Next week, we have the KTI show. We have a guest we're working on having. We have the Mini Keys coming up in the North Central region. Go to PAECT.org and look up the information on that. And hopefully we'll have some Mini Key events coming out throughout the other regions as the year goes on. We have Ed Camp Pittsburgh, November 7th, which is the Saturday after Tretzi, which is November 3rd and 4th. Ed Camp Pittsburgh will be at Montour High School. Tretzi, going on November 3rd and 4th, will be at Bethel Park High School. Tretzi is a fee event. If you Google Three Rivers Educational Technology Conference or Tretzi, take you to the website, or go on and Google Ed Camp PGH, and it'll take you to the website. You can sign up. Ed Camp Pittsburgh is a free event. We have it twice a year in the Pittsburgh area. Also, any Southwest regional members, we'll be sending out an email for revamping the regional board coming up here in the next week or so. Please be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, please keep checking out PAECT.org. We have the calendars on the webpage and events posted all the time for activities going on throughout the state, either co-sponsored or sponsored in full by PAECT.org. So, thank you. Have a good night, everybody, and we'll hopefully talk with you next week.
Thank you. See ya.
Have a good one.